This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I understand these guys are...
How much did the Muslim religion have influence over you?
I have so much respect for it because I respect anybody who says what they mean and means what they say. And I feel like they're the only religion who do. I feel like every other religion is so wishy-washy that it doesn't mean anything anymore.
It's time, Andrew. That's it, time. Come on, brother. Come and join the Ummah. Look who's here. Huh? My brother. They want to know about Islam, we'll give them that one. They want to know about Muslim dust, we'll give them that one. When they want to hate on our deen, we'll give them that one. Who's the one and only? Nobody but Allah. They call me Muslim Bilal, I guess that makes me a terrorist. But when them bullets went, power was guiding use like a therapist. Now they go round dropping them bombs, tell them not in my name. They want to run round killing daughters and sons, tell them not in my name. If this world wants someone to point the finger at, they can point the finger at us. Yeah, it's cool, don't worry, we're used to it. Saw what they done to sisters on the bus. Oh, two join the religion of peace, but walking these streets today is rough. I just kill it with silence, react with kindness, watching the violence, they keep up. You see, they slander us in the tabloid, they slander us on TV as well. Someone please tell me how Islam is still fastest growing religion in the world. Cause you can't find the truth when the battle concludes from a war of good against evil. And they spread it on the news, but you know the truth. We don't believe those people.
Yeah. One person accept Islam because of you, because of your effort, it's worth more than the whole dunya. This is your brother Abdurrahman Al-Khawalda from Dallas, Texas. I'm here in support of the Deen Center. It's a beautiful organization, mashallah, doing da'wah in the U.S. And they have purchased a piece of land and several buildings on it. And we are counting on our brother and sister throughout the U.S., throughout the world, to be part of this magnificent project. It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how much you donate. What matters, we all participate, inshallah. May Allah bless you. Thank you so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. How you guys doing? Guess who's here? My brother Gabriel Romari. Romario, how you doing? How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
Yeah. So we just finished some training, trying to motivate you guys by you seeing us train. Inshallah, you get off the couch, inshallah. Stop drinking Coca-Cola, Pepsi, stepping up, and all them sugary drinks, and get your body right, get your mind right, get your deen right.
That's right.
What do you think? How you feeling in Chicago?
It's amazing. I mean, I think it's a different feeling when you get to move, right? It's like you expose yourself to a lifestyle that we used to have back in the days.
Yeah.
Right now, if you don't, it's like the lifestyle that you have is very sedimentary. Actually, it's just sitting down. It kills you, know that?
Right, yeah.
There's research on that. Like, the worst death is by sitting down too much.
In a cubicle all day?
Yeah.
The desk?
The desk, yeah. I mean, our ancestors used to be forced by lifestyle to be active, right?
Mm-hmm.
There used to be conflict all the time. It's different. Go home, you feel different. Right. Your wife feels different towards you, you know?
Yeah.
You're coming from home, I mean, from outside, you're providing your testosterone, you know, high.
Doing what a man is supposed
to
do, right?
Doing what a man's supposed to do. Now you're driving 2 hours in traffic, coming home, you don't feel like doing anything. Your wife's complaining, kids are crying. Just repeat, and you take a weekend off, you just go in a mall or going shopping, sleeping extra. It's a killer,
so
man.
What do you recommend for people to kind of get this, because you've developed laziness, it's just now, instead of this being a lifestyle, that becomes a lifestyle. So what do you recommend so people can at least throw, I just say, man, if you could just get 20 minutes in, you know, speed walking, doing some push-ups at home, that's like baby stuff before you maybe get to doing something.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think you need to put in that high intensity. Like you feel different right now, you know? I mean, some people just show up, they do power walking. I'm like, okay, it's good for your cardio and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think every man should be into contact sport.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's just... By default, we're all warriors back in the days, right? And now we're all like housewives. That's kind of what you get these days, bro. For the guys, so what do you expect from this guy?
That's why I try to give people baby steps where people who, man, they've been so far away from working out, eating right.
Yeah.
I tell them, look, just eat real food, avoid fake food. That's minimum you could do. Avoid the processed food. And then start doing some push-up. A person who doesn't even do one push-up, you know what I mean? Start doing 5 a day. Build up. Yeah. Slow, do something.
Dude, 20 push-ups a day, 20 sit-ups.
Yeah.
20 squats takes what, like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, right?
That's it.
Do it for 2 months, continuously, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'll challenge anyone. Just do it for a month, okay? Figure out 2 months. See what happens, you see.
And then start,
and then you move to the next step.
Start moving up, start doing some contests, some martial arts, really important.
It's it's different when you get hit, you know?
Oh.
You just, people love to shadow box, they love to think, they like to watch stuff, but when you get hit,
everything changes.
It's different, you know? Even when you hit a punching bag and pads, you know, it's like, But when you get hit back, then it's a different story. I mean, that's real life, right? People think they can just throw at life, throw. And the father kicks you in the face, you know? He's just like, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to, and that's where you end up in depression, anxiety. People start popping pills because they don't know how to handle it. They think, I can just do. And then when it's done to you, they're kind of like, how do I deal with this? So they all, your mind starts playing, shaitan's there whispering, and then you end up in this like dark hole. You don't want to talk to anyone, you don't want to reach out to anyone, and you just suffer.
How much would you say, because you deal with a lot of people who have mental health issues, you do counseling, that's your expertise. How much of a role does this play if people get involved in martial arts, that it helps them with their mental state?
Yeah, I think, see, the mind influences the body, and the body influences the mind. Sometimes you have a weak body, but if you have the right mindset, you can get that body in, right? You start, I mean, what's the right mindset? The mindset, I just got to do it. Stop making excuses, show up, as you say, right? Show up, start doing stuff. Problem is when the mind's messed up, body can be in shape. It's a bit more difficult. But you can still push. The thing is, it kind of all starts from here. If you can look good, you can have a nice body, but if your mind's messed up, if you don't have iman, if you don't have the right knowledge in your head, it's very difficult. I think it's easier if you have the right mindset to change your body. I think it's more difficult to change the mind. But of course, once you get going, you start moving, it works. And that's why you need to have like just community, brotherhood. Because if your mind's not right, at least brothers can help you, can motivate you, come on. If you're alone, it's the worst place to be in.
Yeah. So what do you think? Get a partner, someone who'll go with you. Sometimes it's intimidating to go through the door of a new gym or something, right? So you get a partner maybe and go tag team together.
It's the problem, right? I mean, with men today, we have the brotherhood's almost dead. People don't want to hang around. People don't want to spend time together. It's like the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. He's like, it's always Muhammad, Abu Bakr, Umar. Muhammad, like, you know, he said always when it was always them together, right? These days, like, can you just call up someone anytime? He's like, look, man, I got a problem, without any judgment, you can actually open up to them. No, women can. They can always go to their sister, their mother, cry, complain. Khair, it's good. I'm not saying it's bad, you know? Like, it's good that they have their avenues to complain. But like us, I think we're having an issue. We don't have that brotherhood. You need to have an accountability partner, someone to push
it. I like that. You need an accountability partner. But nowadays, it's like, as soon as you like try to give some nasiha or advice to someone, it's like they cut you off. Cut off culture.
So the Prophet said, right? The worst person is the one when you tell them, you know, fear Allah, or you give him some knowledge, he tells you, mind your own business.
Repeat this again. This is such a powerful hadith. Listen to this.
The Prophet said that the worst person, the people, is the one when someone advises him, tells him to fear Allah, they tell you, mind your own business.
Allah protect us from
that. I mean, because that's the problem with us men. We have ego issues, right? Like, you don't want to seek help because, oh my God, you know, you're fragile. So you don't want to get advice from anyone because you know it all. Like, you have to humble yourself, especially here on the mat. You're going to get humbled in mind. If you're not humble, someone's going to humble you. I mean, that's what it is. You know, you think you're arrogant, you think you can do stuff. Someone's going to choke you out, you know? And that's just the way it is. You got to show up and you got to be humble. And it doesn't matter. There's always going to be someone better than you. وَفَوْكَ كُولِ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every person of knowledge, more knowledge. There's always going to be someone better than you. The problem is people are suffering from low self-esteem. That's why they don't want to show up. It's like, I'm going to get embarrassed. I'm not good enough. No, show up, man, and fight, and just be strong, and it's about the heart. So what if someone's going to beat you or embarrass you? You only get embarrassed if you actually admit that you're embarrassed. You're only going to get embarrassed if you accept that embarrassment. If you're going to be there, being humble and learning and having fun, and just feel like, yeah, man, I got my back whipped, but it feels good, right? It's just learning, man, right? It's all about the ego, so we have to kill that ego and just, alhamdulillah, you know, it is what it is.
So we covered now the part of training, incorporating that into your life. Another thing, before we conclude, how much does food have an influence on your mental health? For example, you know, just a simple example. This is basic. Anyone who studies nutrition and who's into health, water, you know, keeping hydrated, obviously, but drinking the tap water,
yeah,
and that contributing to the lower testosterone because of what they put in, not just the fluoride,
yeah,
you know, the white, you know, the things that they're flushing down the toilets, going into the water, drinking water, and then this tap water has all these chemicals, toxins in there, and that's affecting your mental health, would you say? I'm just giving one example, not to talk about all the processed junk foods all that. So that goes back to how important is nutrition for mental health?
I mean, the basic principle of science is you are what you eat.
Yeah.
Right? So whatever you put in here, that's what you're going to get. So as you said, right now, I think it's, personally, from my research, I do believe it's systematic. Mm. People say, conspiracy theory and all that, but just look at the research. It's funny because, you know, you get accused of conspiracy theory and you show up your research and like, that's conspiracy theory. Look, thing is, men are being emasculated. As you said, the water, the food, the lifestyle, everything is against being a man, against being healthy. Because when you're not healthy, you're dependent on things, dependent on big people, dependent on economy. So it is what it is. I mean, people want to say, yeah, this is rubbish. Just look around. Actually, you don't even need research. Just have to look around. Just be observant. You know, it's something that you observe. I mean, we're at the highest level of technology, healthcare, and still we're dying from obesity, cancer, you name it. Why? You know, literally in the world, in the history of the world, we are at the best time right now when it comes to the resources that are available. They were dying out. Testosterone levels are at the lowest. Sperm counts are at the lowest. What do you want? I mean,
is that when you said you said something very factual, the attack on masculinity, and is that why we see a pull towards people such as Andrew Tate in the Muslim community? A lot of men, really enjoy. He has a lot of things that he says, and a lot of the youth and people gravitate because he is saying some things that make sense.
I said, if I have responsibility for something, I must have a degree of authority over that thing. If the captain gives orders and everyone ignores him, then he isn't going to go down with the ship, does he? He has authority because he is responsible. The two things are the same.
Right.
Now, we don't obviously agree with everything. You know, I would love to him. I had him on the court. I'd love to him to be our brother in the dean. And Andrew Tate, if you're watching, we're going to come see you, inshallah, in Romania to give you another invitation to come to Islam. We obviously can't measure him according to the Quran and Sunnah. He's not living by that yet.
I think he's attracted to it.
I think
he feels it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it makes, you know, you meet these people where like, look, if I were to embrace any religion, it would have been Islam.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, what stops? Well, this. I'm like, just do it. But with Andrew Tate and others like him, it's not necessarily just what he says, it's also how he says it.
Yeah.
Right? He's assertive. He commands confidence. Mm. These are things that are attractive to both men and women. And this is something that we're missing. Right? Compare Andrew Tate with like someone like, you know, some of the Sahabas, right? You cannot compare. And people are confused because they're attracted to these characteristics. But then there's a lot of baggage, negative baggage that comes with it. People don't see that. Mm-hmm. Right? The whole bad boy culture. It's not about that people like bad boys. It's about that. It's that people are confused because of that confidence. That confidence is attractive. What comes with that confidence is all that toxicity and all the haram and all the things that they offer. So people get, the Muslims get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. They look at our, with all the respect, some of our community leaders, and they're saying, brothers, be nice. I'm not saying not nice. No one says don't be nice. Right? It's just that if you look at the Prophet, and again we look at لَقَدْ كَانْ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ in the Prophet, the Uswa Hasan. It's the best example.
Imagine if Andrew Tate, he started taking Prophet Muhammad as a messenger who was sent for him also. Right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know,
look, he can take things to a whole other level.
Like when Omar Khattab embraced Islam, I mean, like, that was huge. Like, Omar, he would go up, like he said, he would just go and declare it.
Yeah.
Right? And Abdullah ibn Omar, he's like, they start beating us and we're beating them. Yeah. He's like going back and forth, right? When he went for Omar, for Hijra, mm-hmm. he said, okay, whoever wants to, his mother to lose her son, come, I'm leaving, you know, meet me just on the other side. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, is he arrogant? No, but he's not scared, mm-hmm. right? So you find, like, look at the Prophet, it's not about being always mean. The problem with these guys in the Red Pill movement, Andrew Tate's, is that they're always trying to stay on one side, mm-hmm. always consistent on one way. And when they get called on it, and they have been called, even by women, I've seen a couple of interviews where they get stuck. Mm-hmm. They don't want to admit. The Prophet would go from strength to softness, strength to softness, and that's the balance, right? وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْتِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانَ. And establish the balance in truth, and don't break the balance. So the Prophet in certain situations, you'll be super, super tough, super strong. And in certain situations, super lenient. It depends on the situation. And I think that's a real man. He's able to ascertain what situation requires which response.
So people like Andrew Tate and others, they're going to get some things right and a lot of things wrong.
Yeah.
Because you don't have Islam. Islam gives you everything. It's a blueprint for life. Prophet Muhammad didn't guess things on his own. It's coming from a relationship with the creator of the heavens and earth. So if you want 100% on how to act in all situations, you got to come to the deen, to Islam.
To keep it simple, I mean, Andrew Tate and these guys are exemplifying some elements of the fitra, the natural male disposition. That's what's attractive, right? It's like people go back to their nature. Is that, as you said, the revelation is meant to fine-tune the fitra, to protect it, to guide it, right? Without the revelation, the fitra can be corrupt.
Yeah.
The revelation is meant there to guide the fitra. Remove the revelation, you got Andrew Tate. Put on the revelation, fine tunes it, you got someone like Omar Khattab.
It's time, Andrew. That's it, time. Come on, brother. Come and join the Ummah. Let's go. What would you say to him? He's coming in. You know,
I would say stop messing around. Like, you know, take your glasses off, sunglasses. That's a sign of insecurity. You know, he's saying that it's his eyes and he's got some. But in the end, you see him sometimes in the sun outside without his sunglasses. Mm. Yeah, you know, the samurais used to always use a mask. Because they hide their insecurities and fears. You know that scary mask, right?
Mm.
Sunglasses are a sign of insecurity. Mm. There's something missing. There's something missing. You can never get, no matter what you do, you can train, you can be the toughest guy. In the end, if there's no iman, there's something missing.
And that's not...
I'm not trying to like...
Disrespect.
No, I'm just...
That's a fact that until God Almighty, Allah is saying that truly in the remembrance of Allah, their hearts find rest. Right. So you can never truly be satisfied and happy until you have connection with your Creator, not in the Trinity or not in, you know, worshiping your desires or anyone else. So this is out of the love calling you to what will give you the security, full confidence, security, and that's relationship with the one who created you from above.
That's right.
And the deen, Islam.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So we covered a lot here. We covered the training. Make it part of your regimen, get in shape, get active, start with some push-ups, eat right, avoid the tap water.
Right mindset.
Get your mind right. And you can't do that if you're not waking up for Fajr in the morning.
That's it.
So there's a lot we can cover.
A lot of muscles, but I can't lift the blanket up, you know?
Hey, good. Alhamdulillah.
Hopefully,
bond here with my brother.
Alhamdulillah. It's been a while.
Gabriel Romario.
Romario.
All right, brothers.
We need to do this for the future of our children, the future of our great country, the future of mankind. This is your brother Uthman ibn Farooq, and I've got a very important message. Alhamdulillah, our brother Eddie is setting up the Deen Center. Not just the Deen Show, but the Deen Center. A full Dawah Academy, a masjid, a Dawah Center in America. The first of its type. A groundbreaking project, and I want everybody, as I'm supporting it, I want everybody to support it so we can take the da'wah to the next level. We need the Deen Center. Please support it.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide.